All right, so let's begin. So we left off on today's daf is Nun Gimel, but we left off on Nun Beis Amud Beis. A lot of Gemara today. So remember, we were speaking about the fact that the Aron was hidden in the second Beis Hamikdash. Excuse me, the Aron was actually hidden during the times of the first Beis Hamikdash before it was destroyed. And along with the Aron were hidden a number of other things. So we left off yesterday. We spoke about the fact that King Yoshiyahu was the one who hid the Aron, and he hid it. Apparently, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, built some type of subterranean chamber that would allow for the hiding of the Aron when circumstances would call for it. So we left off, actually, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. V'amre v'lazer, Asya, Asya, Shama, Shama, Asya, Doros, Doros, V'asya, Mishmeres, Mishmeres. So the Gemara says we make a number of gzeir shavas. So the gzeir, if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says Asya Shama Shama, Ksib Ba'aron Asher Iva Ilacha Shama, Uksib Bitsin Senes Haman Betain Shama Malo Omer. So it says by the Aron, when describing the Aron that I will make myself known to you there, and by the little jar that contained the remnant of man, it says place there Amalo Omer. The Asya Tzluchis Mitsin Senes Haman Doros Doros. Ksiv Bitsin Senes, it says by the jug of the man, the jar of the man, the Mishmeres Doroseichem, says that you will keep it as a Mishmeres, as guarded for future generations. Ksiv Bitsluchish and Mishchas Kodesh Yezeh. So interesting, by the Tzluchis, by the jug of the Shemana Mishcha, it uses the same type of Lashon. The Asya Maklo Shal Arm Bitsin Senes, Mishmeres Tarvos, so the point the Gemara is making over here. So if you remember again, the Gemara said that along with the Aron, was hidden the jug that contained a little bit of mud, together with the flask of anointing oil, as well as the staff of Aaron with its flowers and with its almonds. So all the Gemara is saying is, how do we know that this is true? We essentially make a gzer shava with each of these items. Okay, so therefore the Gemara answers, the olam b'mikdash sheni. To which the Gemara answers, you're right. So what are we dealing with over here? Remember, the whole question of the Gemara was that we're dealing with mikdash sheni, that we are ultimately dealing with the second temple now. And therefore, again, that's why, because remember, we'll say, we're trying to figure out which Beis HaMikdash we're dealing with. So the Gemara is dealing with Mikdash Sheni. So the Gemara says, Umahi Gila Aron Ai, but if it's the Mikdash Sheni, then what does the Mishnah mean when it says that the Kohen reached the Aron? Makom Aron. It doesn't mean the Aron itself, rather it means the space that the Aron occupied. Ai Baha Katani Nasan Esamachta Lebein Shnei Habadim. But it says that he placed the fire pan in between the two poles, the two staves of the Aron, to which the Gemara says, Ema Kibain Shnei Habadim. To which the Gemara says, it doesn't literally mean that he placed it between the two poles, but rather he placed it in the place in which the two poles would have been. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Savara Sakithoras. So I will say we've established now that our Mishnayos are talking about the second temple era. That's what we've established. So now the Gemara says, Savaras HaKitores Al Gabi Gicholim. He piled the Kitores on top of the coals. So the Gemara says, Tanan Kiman Do'amar Tzobra. Rabbosai, if you remember again, we actually alluded to this a little bit earlier. There's a machlokus as to how the Kohen Gadol was supposed to apply the Kitores to the coals. Was he supposed to pile it on top of the coals, or was he supposed to disperse it evenly on top of the coals? The Lashon of the Mishnah is that he piled the Kitores on top of the coals, which would seem to align with this idea that he piles it. So Gemara says, Tani chada tzobra pnima shi chutzalo. Tanya idach tzobra chutza shi pnima. So we'll say, if you pull out the sheet that we had yesterday, you're supposed to be saving these sheets in your session because we draw on them day to day. I'm not going to ask you about the sheets, but so if you look again on page, if you look on the last page of the handout from yesterday, so picture 118 or 119, you will notice that there are two ways in which the Kohen Gadol could go ahead and put the Kitores on the coals. So if you look at 118, the first opinion says, Tani chada tzobra pnima shi chutzalo. The first opinion says that he would begin sprinkling it closer to the Aron, that was further away from him. So he'd begin sprinkling it on the coals towards the Aron, and he would work his way. So he'd start with an outstretched hand, and he would slowly but surely work his way towards himself. The second opinion in 119 says no. Sobra chutza shipnimalo. He would start sprinkling the Kitoris again closer to him and work his way towards the Aron. So the Gemara says, "Amr Abaye, Abaye said, Mistabra, last two lines, Kimand Amr Panima Shichut." Abaye says, "I think that it's clear according to, I think the clearest thing is the, what Abaye calls Chutza, excuse me, Amr Abaye Tana." Oh, I skipped a line. Amr Abaye Tanahi. So Abaye says, "Machlokes Tanoim," as to how he would go ahead and apply the Ketores. Amr Abaye, and Abaye said, "Mistabra, Kimand Amr Panima Shichutza." And Abaye says, "I think it's clearest that the halacha follows the one that says that he would begin sprinkling it by the aron and work his way towards himself. Why? This not because we learned in the Mishnah. Melamdin also, they would teach the Kohen Gadol, Hizoyer, be very careful, top of Nun Gimel, Hizoyer, Shelot Haschil Miponecha, Shema Tichave. They would tell the Kohen Gadol, don't begin to apply the Ketores to the coals close to you. Why? Because maybe you'll get burned. Look at Rashi. Rashi, Shelot Haschil Miponecha, Litzport Valeli Chala. Don't begin to put the Ketores on the coals closest to you and then work your way towards the Aron. Why? Shema Tichave, Rashi says, Sha Ketores, Shetzabarto, Litzidecha, Bo Eres Tamid, Uzro'acha hamispashit v'holich lehalon nichve v'timrolo. So you also, here's the issue. When you go ahead and you place the Ketores on top of the coals, it creates like a shaft of smoke. That shaft of smoke is very hot. So ultimately, if the Kohen begins putting the Ketores on the coals right next to him, and then he extends his hand out, his arm is going to get burnt. So they will tell the Kohen Gadol, essentially start with an outstretched hand, begin putting the Ketores on the coals closest to the Aron, and work your way back towards yourself, thereby avoid getting burned. And Rabbi said that indeed is how the Rambam paskins as well. That when the Kohen Gadol would apply the Ketores to the coals, he would begin with an outstretched arm, working closer to the Aron, and slowly sprinkling it on it, on the coals, coming closer to him. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tan Rabbanon, v'nosan ha-Ketores ala ish lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara says he will place the Ketores on the fire before Hashem. What does that mean? Shelo yitakin mibachutz v'yachnis. So the way Gemara is understanding this is the following, that he shall put the Ketores on the coals lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem in this context means inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As opposed to what? As opposed to shelo yitakin mibachutz v'yachnis. As opposed to putting the Ketores on the coals and walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with already burning Ketores. Lohotzi miliban shel tzedukim, she'omrim yitakein mibachutz v'yachnis, and this is to go ahead and literally exclude the opinion of the tzedukim. Most of them, we spoke about this extensively already. The tzedukim was this group of individuals who did not believe in the oral tradition, the oral law, Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore the tzedukim felt that the way to go ahead and do the Ketores service was to place the Ketores on the coals outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and for the Kohen Gadol to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with already burning coals. Maidrosh, what did they darshan? Ki ba'anon ira el ala ala kaporis. Because the pasuk says, it is with the cloud that I will be seen on the lid of the Aron. Melamed, so the tzedukim darshan is to say, she yitakin mi bachutz v'yachnis. So the way the tzedukim darshan the pasuk is, you could only come before God, you could only come before God and be seen before God if you come with what? If you come with the cloud of the Ketores. So they understood this to mean you have to take care of the Ketores outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walk in with already burning Ketores. Amrulim Chacham, the Chacham said, one second. V'halo kivar ne'emar v'nosan esa Ketores ala ish lifnei Hashem. But there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, you shall place the Ketores on the fire when you are lifnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Im kein matam lomar ki ba'anon ira el ala kaporas. So then what do you do, Chachamim, what do you do with the pasuk that says that it is only through a cloud that you will be seen, the cloud of the Ketores, that you will be seen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Listen to this. The Chachamim darshan from this, melamed shenosin ba ma'ale oshan. Remember we had this before? What does this teach us? It teaches us that one of the necessary ingredients in the Ketores is an ingredient called, an herb called Ma'ale Ashan. Ma'ale Ashan was the herb that caused the pillar of smoke to ascend in a straight pillar. I should say the smoke to ascend in a straight pillar. So it's very interesting. What the Chama Darshan of Osai is that when the Torah says, essentially, the Ketores has to form a cloud over the Kaporas, has to form a cloud over the Aron. So we'll see how this works, but in order for that to happen, you have to use this specific spice called Ma'ala Ashan. We'll see that essentially would cause the smoke to ascend in a straight pillar, it would hit the ceiling, and then it would disperse, ultimately forming a cloud over the Kaporas. So the Gemara goes weiter. Minayin shino simba ma'ala ashan. And the Bryce says, how do we know that you have to use ma'ala ashan and kitores? Shine'emar v'chisa anon ha-kitores es ha-kapores. Because the Pasuk says, and the cloud of the kitores will go ahead and cover the kapores. Now we'll say, the Gemara is going to ask that the Bryce seems a little bit repetitive because the Bryce just said the same thing twice but using two different psukim. We'll analyze that in a little bit. So what do we learn from here? What we learn from here is, if you did not place ma'ala ashan, this particular herb, in the kitores, or for that matter, if you left off any of the ingredients of the kitores, also remember, the kitores is the type of mixture you can't just get in the ballpark, you have to be exact. And if you're not exact, you're chayiv misa. I say, the Gemara says, the seifa klei, the kama ayil biorikana. So I will say, now understand something. So if you come with deficient kitores into the kodesh hakodesh of Yom Kippur, there's another reason why you're chayiv misa, which is what? Biorikana literally means you. It's an empty arrival. Right? What does that mean? The license to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippur is a very specific license to enter with Ketores. If your Ketores is deficient, then what is that called? That's called illegal entry. That's called trespassing on the divine. So the Gemara says, forget about being Chayiv Misa because your Ketores is deficient. You're going to be Chayiv Misa because you trespassed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amar Rav Sheshes Hacham, I ask, you know, what are we dealing with over here? Kigon Sheshagag Bebiya. The Hazid Baktara. Oh, so the answer we'll say is we can be dealing with the case of the Kohen Gadol who made a mistake with the entry, but was intentional with the Ketores. We'll say, what does it mean he made a mistake with the entry? It means that he didn't realize that what we call a Biare Kanis, you know, an empty entry, ultimately is Chayiv Misa. So you can't be Chayiv Misa if you didn't realize that what you're doing brings with it a Chayiv Misa. So he didn't realize that entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with deficient Ketores is a Chayiv Misa. So he's not Chayiv Misa for that. But he knew full well that what? That his Ketores was deficient, and for that he is Chayiv Misa. Rav Ashi says, Afilu teime hizid bizu bizu. The truth is, you could even say that he intentionally entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim knowing that he was carrying that he had deficient Ketores, but he's still going to be Chayiv for both. How so? Kigon da'ayol shtei aktaros. For example, this could be a Kohen Gadol who brought in two portions of Ketores. Achas shlema v'achas chaseira. One is a complete shear, a complete ketores, a complete portion, and one is deficient. So he's not going to be chayiv for illegal entry into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Because he brought with him a full portion of ketores. On the other hand, ahaktara mechayiv, but he will be chayiv for offering deficient ketores. Why? The kamakdir ketores chasera, because he's only offering the deficient ketores. Amar Mar. So also going back to the Braisa now, the Gemara says, and from where do we know that you have to use Ma'ala Ashan? Talmud Lomar, V'chisa. Therefore the Pasuk says V'chisa. So the Gemara says, Kra L'kra. So we'll say, this is very interesting. What the Gemara is saying over here is, if you read the Braisa itself reads a little bit strangely. Because on one hand, the Braisa says, how do we know you're supposed to use Ma'ala Ashan? Ki ba'anan ira'e ala kapores. Because it is through a cloud that I will become known on top of the lid of the Aron. That cloud issue tells us that you have to go ahead and use Ma'ala Ashan. And then the Gemara says, and how do I know that I have to use Ma'ala Ashan? The Gemara says, oh, because the Pasuk says, V'chisa anon ha-ketores es ha-kapores. The cloud of the ketores will cover the kapores, the lid of the Aron. So the Gemara says, uses an interesting Lashon. The Gemara says, Kra l'kra. Do we need to bring a pasuk to support a pasuk? So the Gemara says the wording of the Braisa is absolutely strange and makes no sense, because the wording of the Braisa is the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and then the Gemara afterwards quotes another pasuk again to support the same exact idea. So why would you do that? Amar Rav Yosef, Hachikamar, this is what it means to do. So essentially what the Gemara is asking here is, why are you bringing two psukim that essentially say the same thing to support the same idea? So Rav Yosef says, this is what it means to say, Hachikamar, Eli Ela, Allah Ma'ala Ashan. I only know that you have to use the leaf of Ma'ala Ashan. Allah is a leaf, that I have to use the leaf of the Ma'ala Ashan. Because you also remember, the Gemara is essentially saying over here that the Ma'ala Ashan is one of the ingredients of the Ketores. So I would only know that you have to use the leaf of the Ma'ala Ashan. Iker Ma'ala Ashan Minayin. How do I know that I have to use the root of the Ma'ala Ashan? Tawilomar vichisa. Therefore, the pasuk says. Therefore, the pasuk says it shall cover. It shall cover. And essentially, the Gemara's understanding over here is that lemaisa, it's the leaf itself that's one of the necessary ingredients, but it's the root that really creates this cloud over the kapores. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tamlom v'chisa. Amalei Abayi v'ha ipchatanya. I ben Abayi said, we learn just the opposite. Disanya. Nosan v'ikr ma'ala ashan. If you put into it the ikr, if you put into it the root of the ma'ala ashan, Haya mitamer va'ola kimakel ad shemagia l'shmei korah. The smoke would ascend to the ceiling. The smoke would ascend in the pillar like a staff until it got to the ceiling. Kevan shegia l'shmei korah. First wide line of the daf. Once it reaches the ceiling, mimashmesh v'yori b'ksalim. So it's very interesting. So if you can imagine this scene, the smoke of the Ketores would ascend in a straight pillar to the ceiling. Once it got to the ceiling, it would spread across the ceiling and then begin to come down the walls. So the Gemara says, Shine Emar, because the Pasuk says, V'abayis yimali ashan. Ella amar abayi, hachli kam rabayi, says, this is what it means to say. Ainli ella ikar ma'ala ashan. I only know that you have to use the root of the ma'ala ashan. How do we know that you also have to use the leaves? Talmud lomar v'chisa. Therefore, the pasuk says v'chisa. So we'll say ultimately what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the two psukim, both that speak about the fact that the smoke of the Ketores must cover the bayis, are referring to two different things. One is talking about the obligation to use the leaves of the ma'ala ashan, and one is talking about the obligation to use the roots of the ma'ala ashan. The Gemara goes vayter. Rav Sheshe says, Eini ela oel moed. I only know that there's an obligation to use the ma'ala ashan in the oel moed. Sheba midbar, shilo ubeis olamim minayin. So I'll say it's very interesting. I only know that there's an obligation to use the ma'ala ashan in the oel moed. Why is that? Because the pasuk oel moed is the mishkan. Because the pasuk is talking about the mishkan. How do I know shilo when the mishkan will be in shilo or beis olamim or the beis hamikdash? How do I also have to use ma'ala ashan? Tamalomar v'chisa. Therefore, the pasuk says v'chisa. So the extra v'chisa. One comes to teach you the obligation in the Mishkan, and the other comes to teach you the obligation in the Beis HaMikdash. Hai, mi v'chein ya'aseli oha moed, ha'shochin itam, nafka. So the Gemara says, one second, we learn that out from a different idea. The Pasuk says, v'chein ya'aseli oha moed, ha'shochin itam b'soch tumasom. So the Pasuk says, this is what you shall do in the oha moed, for the one who dwells with us, even in the midst of our impurity. The fact that the Torah says that this is what is done for the one who dwells with us indicates that what? Wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that's where we'll go ahead and we'll do this Ketores service. Whether that's the Mishkan, Shiloh, Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, El HaAchikamah, this is what it means to say. Eili Elav Yom Kippurim. I only know that Ma'ala Ashan has to be used on Yom Kippur. B'Shayimos HaShana Minayin. How do I know that Ma'ala Ashan must be an ingredient of Ketores all year long? Talmud Lomar V'chisa. Therefore, the Pasuk says, and it shall cover. Rav Ashi says, Chad LaMitzvah. The Chad La'akev. Rav Ashi says, one pasuk is coming to teach me the mitzvah, meaning that there's an obligation to use ma'ala ashan. Chad La'akev means what? And one pasuk is coming to teach me that it's an indispensable part, that if I didn't use it, I would actually compromise the Ketores. Rava says, Chad La'onush v'chad La'ashara. One is for the punishment and one is for the prohibition. Rav Ashi, generally the way the Torah works is the Torah very often phrases prohibitions twice. And the reason that does that is because one gives me the prohibition and one gives me the onesh. So one time is teaching over here that I have to use ma'ala ashan, and the other one that tells me that if I omit it and don't use it, is a chiyuv misa. So the Gemara goes weiter. Danya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, velo yamus, onesh, ki ba'anan ira'eh, ashara. Rabbi Eliezer spells this out. The Pasuk says, lo yamus, that the Kohen Gadol will not die. That's the onesh. That tells us that if he doesn't come in with the proper Ketores, there's a death sentence. Ki ba'anon, because only through the cloud shall I be seen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as hara. That's the warning. Yachol yihyu shneim amurim kodem misas b'nei Aaron. You might have thought that they were both stated before the death of Aaron's sons. And I was like, what the Gemara is assuming over here is that the reason Nadav and Avihu died was because they offered inappropriate Ketores. Whether that's because they went ahead and they offered Ketores without Ma'ala Ashan or something else. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, you might have thought that both of these statements come before the death of Nadav and Avihu. Talmud Lomar, Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Therefore, again, also remember, Parshas Acharei Mos is the parsha that contains the Avodah. And the parsha of the Avodah comes after the death of Aaron's two sons. Yochol Yushnei Amurim Achar Misas Shnei Bnei Aaron. So you might have thought that maybe both the Azhara, the warning, as well as the Onesh, were both stated after the death of Aaron's sons. Talmud Lomar, Ki Ba'anan Ira'eh Ala Kapores. Mostly look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Ki ba'anan era ela kapores. Rashi says, Arshte yochul yushneim omurim. Kodem misas b'nei Aaron. V'ne'emar sheva avon ma'ala ashen shlo nitnu mesus. You might have thought that both the prohibition as well as the punishment were stated before the death of Aaron's two sons. In which case, again, perhaps what the Torah is trying to convey to us is the reason Aaron's two sons died was because they did not include ma'ala ashen on their ketores. Talmud lomar, Ki ba'anan ira'e ala kapores. Ha'kitzad, azhara kodem misa, va'onesh achar misa. So we'll say, how did it happen? The warning to bring ma'ala asher in the ketores was stated before the death of Aaron's two sons, but the punishment is stated after the death of Aaron's two sons. My Talmud, how do we see this? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, ki ba'anan ira'e. Because the pasuk says, with the cloud I will be seen, future tense, va'adayin lo nira. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not yet seen. What the Gemara indicates that means is that the warning, so to speak, the Azhara, was issued before the death of Aaron's two sons, but the Onesh given afterwards. Look at Rashi, va'adayin lo nira, ara'a mashma la'asid. The Lashon of Ra'a is a Lashon of future tense. Alma, kishine'emar mikra zeh. When this pasuk was said, Adayin lo nira, God was not yet seen, so to speak, or I should say, the Torah was not yet seen. Ve'ila acher misasan kvar nira bo bayom shenemar vayetu vayivarchu esan. So we'll say the way the Gemara is understanding this now is that essentially the two pasukim, one represents the Azhara, the warning that you can't bring your Torah without ma'ala hashan, and the other represents the onesh. The warning was stated before the death of Aaron's two sons and the Onesh afterwards. So the Gemara says, "I ve'ela my time i'anish." So I'll say, here's the problem. If you're going to tell me now that the punishment was not stated until after the death of Aaron's two sons, then what? Then how can they be held liable? Again, I will say, remember, in order to be held liable for violation of any Torah prohibition, you have to be warned, there has to be an Asara, and you have to be fully cognizant of the Onesh. So if you're telling me now that the way that the Torah is set up is that the warning was said before their death, but ultimately the punishment only known after their death, so how could they be held liable for the omission of Ma'ala Ashan? To which the Gemara says, you're right. The death of Aaron's two sons has nothing to do with Ma'ala Ashan. Kidisanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lomesu b'nei Aaron, Ella al shahoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. What's an amazing Gemara. Nadav and Avihu died. Why? Because they paskined halacha in front of Moshe, their Rebbe. What halacha did they paskin? My darush. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron akoin ish ala mizbeach. Remember, I will say, the pasuk, remember, it seems to be very nondescript in terms of what they did. The Torah just tells me they placed an ish on the Mizbeach. So that's why the Gemara automatically assumes beforehand that the punishment was Ketores, because that's the ish association. The Gemara says, no, that wasn't what they did. Rather, what did they do? Afa pisha ish yoredes mirashamayim mitzvah lahavi mehejot. So Bnei Aaron paskin the following halacha. They paskin that even though a miraculous fire descended from the heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants us to kindle our own man-made fire. And the Rabbos say, interestingly enough, they were right. They were correct. That is what God wanted, even though God had not yet commanded it. But the point is, they paskin halacha when Moshe Rabbeinu was around. And that breach of proper respect for their Rebbe, that breach of proper respect for the man of Yisrael, is in and of itself, so say something also, In order to run a people effectively, there has to be a clear chain of command, and there has to be a clear authority structure. And when they were passing halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were pogging. They ultimately detracted from the covenant of Moshe, and by doing so, they detracted from the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because they passed halacha in front of Moshe, the Rebbe, that's where they were put to death. And I will say, the overwhelming idea is here, they were correct. It's not going to be like they passed in something erroneous, or they did something wrong. What they did was actually correct, but the manner in which they did it was so grossly inappropriate that they lost their lives. So the Gemara goes back there.
Amen.
So the Gemara says the following: Yotza ubolo derkanisa. So we'll say again. Now the Gemara goes back, and the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? When going ahead and backing out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, remember the Kohen did not do an about face, but rather the Kohen backed out backwards. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, so how do we know this? Meaning, how do we know that this is the appropriate way to back out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Amar Rav Yonasan Amakra, Vayavo Shlomo Labama Asher Begivon Yerushalayim. So mostly the pasuk says that Shlomo came to the Bama. Bama is an altar that he built in Givon Yerushalayim. Rabbi says there's only one problem, is that Givon is not in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, V'chima inyan Givon eitz Yerushalayim. So what's pshat? How can you say Givon Yerushalayim? Listen to this. Ela makish yitzi asam Givon Yerushalayim lebi asam Yerushalayim leGivon. The Navi is coming to equate his departure from Givon to Yerushalayim in the same way that he came from Yerushalayim to Givon. What does that mean? Ma bi asam Yerushalayim leGivon, pun of klape bama. So Rabbi said, just like the Gemara says, when he came from Yerushalayim to Givon, so how did he go? I mean, he came facing the Bama, right? Meaning when he arrived from Yerushalayim to Givon, he came facing the Bama. Kederach biaso, af yitzi aso mi Givon Yerushalayim, panav klape Bama. Kederach biaso. So the Gemara says, therefore, when he took leave from Givon to Yerushalayim, so what did he do? He took leave the same way that he came. The same way that he came facing the Bama, so too when he took leave facing the Bama as well. Meaning what? He walked away backwards so as not to go ahead and turn his back on the Bama. That's what it means when it says that he came to the Bama Givon Yerushalayim. The same way that he came from Yerushalayim to Givon, he came facing the Bama. When he took leave of the Bama to go back from Givon to Yerushalayim, he took leave facing the Bama. He would not turn his back. So the Gemara says that's the Makar. That's the Makar that when ultimately leaving a holy event or a holy place, that one does not turn their back, but rather again one backs out backwards as a sign of respect. The chain kohanim ba'avodasan, so too the kohanim do this with their avoda. And once again, we'll see. Interestingly enough, this doesn't just mean the kodesh hakadosh. This could also mean in general, when the coin is operating in the heichal, that the coin backs up. Coin backs up, doesn't turn his back. Ulevim beduchanan, and the Levim when they do their duchen, the Yisra b'ma'amadan, and Yisra when they're ma'amad. So also remember, Levim beduchanan is just an expression for when the Levim are doing their work. The duchen, remember, is that platform that they stood on. It means the Levim also do this. They back away slowly. The Yisra b'ma'amadan. Remember, we spoke about the ma'amados. There was always a representation of Yisraelim in the Beis HaMikdash. They were representing the klal, because remember, they had to be present for the Karban Tamid. Karban Tamid is a communal offering. Communal offerings only work if there's a representation of the community present. So there would be shifts, rotations of Yisraelim who would spend time in the Beis HaMikdash representing the klal. Kishem Niftarim, all these people, when they take leave of the Beis HaMikdash, lo hayu machzirin pnei en v'holkin, they would not go ahead and turn around, right? Turn around and walk away. Ella mitzadidin pinehen v'holchem. The boss is very interesting. What they would do is they would kind of like turn to the side and back away like that. It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't necessarily fully advocate the walking backwards approach. Why? Because the walking backwards approach sometimes could cause more harm than good. So people don't necessarily have the coordination for that. So the Gemara suggests another idea, which is this sideways approach. So this idea is instead of just turning your back, kind of turn sideways, so your body is walking sideways, but your face is still directed towards that which is kadosh.
You also have the mind brachas about not walking backwards. You forget you're learning or something like that.
It could be. I forgot. Okay, it's early. Give me some slack on that. All right. So the Gemara says the following. Elu mitzadei pana v'holech ki hadra v'lazra. Also, now the Gemara applies this to other contexts as well. Thank you for that belief. Kiha Rabbi Lazar kat hava miftar minei Rabbi Yochanan. I've also listened to this. Now the Gemara applies this to a Talmud and a Rebbe. Just like Rabbi Lazar, when he would take his leave of Rabbi Yochanan, kat hava boy Rabbi Yochanan l'saguye. So I've also listened to this. So Rabbi Lazar is the Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe. So Rabbi Osa, if Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was leaving, kat hava boy Rabbi Yochanan l'saguye, hava gochin koi Rabbi Lazar aduchtei, ada havi michsi Rabbi Yochanan minei. So if Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was leaving, Rabbi Lazar would bow, would literally remain in a bowed position until his Rebbe was no longer in sight. So he would literally remain bowed towards his Rebbe until his Rebbe was no longer in sight. They can't have a bayi Rebbe Elazar l'saguye, but if Rebbe Elazar was the one who was leaving, have a ka'azul la'achore, he would walk backwards, ad demachse minei Rabbi Yochanan, until he could no longer see Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say in this case, he's actually walking backwards. Rava, when Rava can't have a miftar minei Rabbi Yosef, when Rava would take leave of Rav Yosef, again, remember, Rava is the Talmud, Rav Yosef is his Rebbe. So when he would take leave of Rav Yosef, what happened? Azol la'achore, he would walk backwards, ad diminagfan kare umestavan askufsa debe Rav Yosef dama. We'll say, Sidi Gemara used a very strong lashon over here. He would walk backwards, and when walking backwards, his legs would get bruised and bloodied. Because you also remember, they're not wearing pants. They're wearing like tunics. What is that? I think that's the right word, tunics. Like,
yeah, right.
Good. Okay. So the idea is he walked backwards. He walked backwards. And as a result of walking backwards, his legs would get bruised and bloodied to the point that Gemara says that literally the threshold of Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, was filled with his blood. So the Gemara says, Amud Beis, Amru loy l'Rav Yosef, hachi avid rava. So they said to Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef what Rava was doing. So we'll say, why are they telling Rav Yosef what Rava was doing? Look at Rashi. Armoli Rav Yosef, Shahaya me'or inayim. Shahaya me'or inayim, ve'eno makir v'davar. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So remember, Rav Yosef was blind. So Rav Yosef did not go ahead and see that which his Talmud was doing. So they told Rav Yosef what Rava was doing, and what happens? Amalei Yehi Rava de Torum Reshech Akula Kracha. Rava, in the merit of this incredible cover that you give to Torah, because that's what it means. When you honor your Rebbe, you're not really necessarily honoring the person as much as you are honoring the Torah. And there's a chus of the Torah that you have honored, you should become the Rosh Yeshiva over the city. But also, I just say something very interesting as an aside. You know, if we have time for it, remind me. There's an interesting halachic kasha that comes up with this. Also, I meant to mention earlier, we're dedicating our learning in the zechus of a refuah shalema for Tziril Bas Riva Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she has a complete and enduring refuah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Am Rabbi Alexandri, Am Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Hamispalel, and now once we started this, the Gemara says, Hamispalel, Tzarech sheyafsia shalosh psios la'achorav. When one is davening, when one finishes davening, one should take three steps back. V'achrikach yitin shalom. And then you should give shalom. Now, shalom to who? This is shalom to your friends. Right? Why? What is now, the Gemara is not encouraging talking during davening. What the Gemara is saying is that when you take three steps back, you give shalom to someone as a display of what? That you have taken leave of the king. So the Gemara says, Amarli Rav Mordechai, Kevan shepasa shalosh psios la'achorav. Hasam ibayle lemekel. After you take three steps back, you should remain in that position, in that place for a little bit, and don't immediately take three steps forward. Mashal, why is that? Mashal le'talmid hanifta merabo, same way that if a talmid takes leave of his rabbi, im chozer la'altar, if he comes back immediately, doma le'kelev sheshav al keyo. It's pretty dramatic lashon. He's like the dog that returns to his vomit. Now, what does that mean? When you take leave of someone, the idea, if you take leave in a respectful manner, that's a display of kavod. If after taking leave, you run right back, then it shows that what? That your original taking leave of kavod was not all that bakavodic either. So if I'm taking leave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I do in Shmona Esrei. I take leave. I take my three steps back. I'm taking leave. So Gemara says, you have to remain there a little bit. Because by remaining in that place a little bit, that shows that you have actively taken leave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then ultimately, you can take your three steps forward again afterwards, but it can't be immediately. So the Gemara goes weiter. That supports this. When you daven, actually when you finish davening, you have to take three steps back. And afterwards you give shalom. And again, this shalom means shalom to your friend. And if you did not do so, amazing. It's better as if you didn't daven. You know, both said, If you don't take leave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a properly bakavadik way, then what that ultimately shows is that a person doesn't truly understand and appreciate the process or that they've just undergone. A person doesn't understand that they've just been in the service of the king, in the presence of the king, if I don't take proper leave of the king. Umishum Shmaya Amran, name of Shmaya, they said, Shino Saint Shalom Yamin, the Acharkach Lismol. Then I will say, what should I do? I should first give shalom to the right, and then afterwards to the left. Shene emar, because what this seems to mean is what? That when I take my three steps back, I should bow to the right, give shalom to the right, give shalom to the left, indicative of the fact that I'm taking leave of God. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Shene emar, mimino, ish das lava. So also quoting the pasuk from Vezos HaBracha, where the pasuk says, from his right hand, he presented them a fiery Torah. So you see from here that the right is dominant. Well, hold on for 1 second. Va'omer, yipol mitzidcha elef urevava miminecha. But the Pasuk also says that ultimately 1,000 will fall on your side, bless you, and on your right, a myriad. My va'omer, what does it mean, va'omer? Why do you need the second Pasuk? V'chi tema orcha demilsehi lemeisa v'yamis. So maybe you'll say, the Pasuk from Bezos HaBracha is not such a good raya. Why? Because it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the Torah. So maybe when it comes to an act of giving, of course you're going to go ahead and use your right hand. But maybe again, maybe in terms of giving shalom, you don't use the right first. Talmud Tashma, yipol mitzidcha elef urevava meminecha. Therefore, the Gemara brings a second pasuk that gives supremacy and dominance to the right as well. Therefore, when giving shalom, we give shalom to the right first. So the Gemara says, Rava, chazi le'abaye diyayev shalma liyamine bereisha. So Rava saw Abaye, that when Abaye backed up from Shmona Esrei, he took his three steps back, and he bowed to his right first. So Rava says to him, no, Amarle, mi savris liyamin didach, the small didach kamina. Excuse me, mi savris liyamin didach. Do you think that when we say you should bow right first, it means you're right? No, it doesn't mean you're right. The small didach kamina. You should actually bow first to your left. The Havi Yemino Shala Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because when it says that you should bow to the right first, it doesn't mean my right, it means the right of God. So therefore, Rabbo said, this is where this process comes from. We take three steps back, ultimately again showing that we are taking leave of the king. We remain in place for a little bit in order not to jump back, because that shows that I understand. If I show that I'm truly taking leave of the king, that shows that I recognize that I was in the presence of the king during Shmona Esrei. I bow to my left first, which is my right, and then only afterwards bow to my left. Excuse me. I bow to my left first, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's right, and then I bow to my right, which is Kadosh Baruch Hu's left afterwards. Amar Rav Chiya Breid Rav Huna Chazina Leila Abayi V'Rava Depasi Lohu Shalosh Psios Bekriya Achos. I saw. So Rav Huna says, I saw that when Abayi and Rava backed up from their Shmona, they took their three steps back. They took their three steps back in a bowed position. Bikriya achos. So meaning Rav Hosai, again, one might have thought, based on the Gemara, you could take three steps back and then bow. But I saw by Rava that they took three steps back in a bowed position. Rav Hosai, and that's indeed what the Shulchan Aruch brings down as well. So again, all of this is interesting. All of this is halacha lemaisa. Again, taking our three steps back to show that we're taking leave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, how you leave is very indicative of what you feel your time before was really about. If I take leave appropriately, that shows that I recognize I was in a state of communion just a little while ago. I do it bowed in order to show that I'm truly taking leave of the king. I bow to the king's right first, which is my left, and then to the king's left second. So the Gemara goes weiter. So remember, the Mishnah said, the Kohen Gadol, when he would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would daven a short prayer. He would daven a short tefillah in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says the following, my matzli. So let's say, this is, you know, if we had like another hour to spend on this, maybe we'll find some time later on. It's amazing to see what the Kohen Gadol davens for. So the Gemara says, my matzli, Rava bar Rav Ada, v'ravin bar Rav Ada, tarvayu mishmei d'rav amri. What did he daven? He ratzal mefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shetehe shana zu gishuma ushechuna. It should be a rainy and hot year. So the Gemara says, shechuna mal, you see? Why do you want heat, right? It should be a hot year. Ela ema im shechuna tehe gishuma. Rather, it means what? If it's going to be a hot year, there should at least be a lot of rain. Rav Ada, Rav Acha Berei Durava, Mesayimba, Mishmei Rav Yehuda. Furthermore, again, so others added in another part of the tefillah, Lo Ya'adi Avid Shultun Midbeis Yehuda, that leadership, rulership, should never leave from the house of Yehuda, from the Shevet of Yehuda. V'lo Yu Amech Yisrael Tzrichin Lefarnes Zemizeh. And the Jewish people should not need to be supported one from the other, meaning everybody should be on their own financial feet. They shouldn't have to get tzedakah one from the other. and the tefillos of the travelers should not be accepted by you, God. Now, this is interesting. Who are the tefillos of the travelers? So if you look at Rashi here for just a moment, Rashi says, Ovri drachim, mispalim shal yerduk shamar. So listen to this. Remember, the rainy season really starts when? On the first of Sukkot. On the first day of Sukkot. Now, we don't daven for rain until the second day, right? But ultimately, what the people who were older regel would daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to let it rain until they got home. So that's very nice for them, except it's not in the best interest of the klal. So the Kohen Gadol would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that the Ovrei Drachim are going to travel, is going to daven to you with a lot of kavanah. Don't listen to their tefillos. We need the rain. If they get a little bit wet on their way home, they get stuck in the mud, you know what? They'll be okay at the end of the day. But we need the rain. I will say, what's dramatic about this is, the Kohen Gadol doesn't daven about Ruchnius. He doesn't daven, we should all be tzaddikim, we should all finish Shas, we should all learn Torah, we should all do mitzvos. What is he daven about? He davens about Parnasa. Because I will say, in Kemach, in Torah. People, it's very difficult for people to be spiritual when they are materially deficient. It's very difficult for people to be spiritual when they're struggling with their parnasa. So the Kohen Gadol says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want us to be holy, you want us to be good, you want us to live good lives, give us parnasa. Give us parnasa, help us with that peace, and I promise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rest will fall into place. A very profound insight. Rav Chanina Ben Dosa, Dosa is another, these Gemaras are amazing. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. It's almost like it's not fair. We do this because we have to, but it's almost like so enjoyable that it's like recreation. But it's not. I'm saying like, this is what else would you do with your time besides this? But it's amazing. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, hava ka'azo ba'archa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was traveling on the road. Shada mitra ale. It started raining. So of course, what does Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa do? Amri bono shel olam, kala uk olam benachas, kala olam kula benachas, v'chanina betzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. Everybody else is comfortable, and I should be in tzar. Meaning everybody else is in their houses, right? Then I'm stuck in the rain, and I should get stuck in the rain. What happened? Ah, pasak mitra. It stopped raining. All right. Ki asal abese. When Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa got home, what happened? Amar ribono shel olam. So now it wasn't raining anymore. Amar ribono shel kala olam kula b'tzar. V'chanina b'nachas. So now Rabbi Chanina said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire world is b'tzar. And Chanina is okay. Now why is Chanina okay? Two reasons. Number one, because he's home. Number two, Rabbi Chanina, Rashi points out, was not a landowner. So because he was not a landowner, so the truth is, again, he wasn't worried about the crops. So now I'm home, I'm comfortable, I have no fields, I'm b'nachas, but everybody else is b'tzar because there's no rain. Asa mitra, the rain came. And also, listen to this. Amar Rav Yosef, my ahanyelet salusi de Kohen Gadol, le gabri Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And also, as well as the Gemara say, you see, the Kohen Gadol's prayer has no power over the prayers of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Because what are the Kohen Gadol daven for? The Kohen Gadol said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't let the tefillos of individuals sway you. When it's supposed to rain, rain. And no matter how powerful the tzaddik is that asks you to not have it rain, no matter how much discomfort or inconvenience they're in, don't listen to them. And Rav Yosef says, you see how powerful the tefillah of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was, that even the Kohen Gadol's tefillah on Yom Kippur, right outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was not enough to offset the tefillah of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Tan Rabbanan, Ma'aseh v'Kohen Gadol Achad, Sheherich b'tefillah. So I want you to listen to this. So now, there was once a Kohen Gadol that was davening for a long time in the Heichal. He came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he was davening for a long time in the Beis HaMikdash. I've also understand, remember, as I mentioned yesterday, no one is in the Beis HaMikdash. Not to forget about the Kodesh HaKadosh, no one is in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodas. Even when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's standing in the Heichal all alone. So there was one time that what? That he was being marich. He was davening for a long time. And what happened? V'nimnu echav kohanim likhalis acharav. His fellow kohanim were getting ready. They thought chas v'shalom something happened. So what happens? They were going to go into the Beis HaMikdash to go find him. What happens? His schilu heim nichnasin v'hu yotzei. So what happens? At the moment that they come in, he comes out. Amrum lo mipnei ma ha'arachta b'tfila secha. So they said to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where were you? Why are you davening so long? So the Kohen Gadol was a little bit like offended about this. He says, Amru lahem, Kasha be'enechem shespalati aleichem va'beis hamikdash shelo yecharev. So the Kohen Gadol says, are you serious? You're going to give me grief that I was davening for you? Right? I'm sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash davening for all of you, davening for Klal Yisrael, davening the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. Amru lo, they said to him, Al tihi rog yelasos kein. Please don't do this again. Don't do this again. Shahari Shaninu, because we learned in the Mishnah, lo haya marich b'tfilaso, the Kohen Gadol would not daven for a long time. Why? Kedesh lo lahavis es Yisrael, in order not to scare the people outside of the Beis Hamikdash, who would think that if he was delayed in coming back, chas v'shalom, something happened. Rabbi Osai, there's an incredible yisod that comes out from this also. You can't be holy on someone else's shoulders. Your ruchnius can't come at the expense of someone else. Why? The Kohen Gadol is davening. The Kohen Gadol is davening for Klal Yisrael. If your tefillah causes anxiety for someone else, that's not a tefillah. If your holiness or your piety comes at someone else's expense, whether it's their feelings or their money or whatever else it may be, that's not called piety. A person has to be ruchni, a person has to be holy, but I have to do so in a way that does not compromise others. See, here you have, again, imagine this, the Kohen Gadol is getting musar. Well, so you have to understand something, just because this is amazing to me. If you're the kind of guy, excuse me for using that lashon, but if you're the kind of guy that could get in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim alive, that speaks volumes about who you are. See, if it was me, I'd say, you know what, Kohen Gadol, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And even if you do something that I don't like, the truth is, most probably, I'm not going to say anything to you. But here, they're going ahead, they're giving the Kohen Gadol, they're saying, we were worried. We're worried. I appreciate the fact that you're davening. Your davening has no right to cause anxiety within the general populace. So do what you have to do quickly and get out. Tircha de Tzibura. Correct. It's the Tircha de Tzibura idea. Says the Mishnah. Mishnah, so also I remember, interestingly enough, we established already that the previous Mishnah was talking about the Second Temple era. Now the Gemara goes, and in the Second Temple, there's no Aron. So now the Mishnah continues on this theme. Mishanita Aron. This is amazing. There is no Aron HaKodesh. Gemara will say again, we'll discuss until now, the narrative that we've gone with is, where did the Aron go? Right. Who put it there?
Yoshio.
King Yoshio. So now we'll say we're going to see a different part of the story in just a little bit. Look at the Mishnah. Mishanita Aron. When the Aron was taken, Evan Haisa Shamimo Sanavim Rishonim. There was a stone that was there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that occupied the very place of the Aron. Ushesia Haisa Nikres. And it was called the Shesia stone, right? Shesia literally means foundation. Evan Shesia. Gava Amina Ar Shalosh Etzbaos. And it was 3 finger breadths high from the ground. Va'alea haya nosing. And interestingly enough, again, remember, it was there, by the way, even when the Aron was there. The Aron used to rest on top of the Evan Shesia. But even when the Aron, we'll discuss exactly why it's called the foundation stone. But even when the Aron was gone, that stone was still there. And now it was on this stone that the Kohen Gadol would go ahead and place the fire pan with the coals and sprinkle the Ketores on top of it. So the Gemara says, not unless Adam, now the Gemara goes through the Avodah. So now remember, we're finished with the Ketores, right? So now we did the Ketores, he's back outside of the Kodesh Kodesh. Remember, I want to be clear, the Kohen Gadol left the Machta, he left the fire pan in the Kodesh Kodesh when he left, right? Because again, remember, the Kodesh Kodesh has to fill with Ketores, the smoke. See, he's gone, he's left already. Now what does he do? Natal as Adam, he takes the blood of the par, Mimi Shai Mamaris. But I also remember there was a guy, Cohen, who was stirring the blood. Because remember, the blood will congeal, it will coagulate if left alone. So there was a guy who was stirring it this entire time. What happens? He took the blood. Nichnas lamakom shenichnas, va'amar b'makom sha'amar. So we'll say the Kohen Gadol goes back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the blood of the par. And what does he do? V'hiza mimenu. And he would sprinkle the blood. I'll say, originally he would sprinkle the blood on the Aron. Now he's sprinkling the blood on the Evan Shesia. And what would he do? Achos lamala v'sheva lamata. He would sprinkle one sprinkling. Literally, lamala means above, and 7 below. This is obviously all being done on the ground level. But one was a little bit higher up. 7 were below. We'll see what this means in the Gemara, but what this means is he wouldn't actually like apply the blood. Matzlif, we actually saw earlier, means he'd almost do like what we call like a flick, right? But the idea is he would be massive. He would flick 1 a little bit further up and then 7 a little bit lower down. And this is how he would count. Achos. Achos viachos. You could feel free to repeat, right? Right. Moshe's getting in the mood over here, right? So, right. So, yeah, so he says, Achas, right? Achas, 1, and then Achas v'Achas, 1 and 1. Achas v'Shtayim, 1 and 2. Achas v'Shalosh, 1 and 3. Achas v'Arba, 1 and 4. Achas v'Chamesh, 1 and 5. Achas v'Shesh, 1 and 6. Achas v'Sharabos. And the reason we'll see why he would count like this. He would count that he should not lose. He should not lose. He cannot, should not lose. He should not have a lapse in concentration as to which sprinkling needs to go where. So in order that he not inadvertently sprinkle lemala higher again, he would always remember the fact that he did that achos. He did that sprinkling lemala, and therefore all the subsequent ones have to be done lemata. Yatza, so after he would do the sprinkling of the blood, he would come back out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'nichu al kanazav shel heichal. Allah said there was a golden stand in the Beis HaMikdash, and he would put the receptacle, because remember Allah saying, the receptacle, the kli shareis that had the blood in it, had a pointed bottom. It did not have a flat bottom. Why did it have a pointed bottom? Because Bidafka did not want the coin to put down the blood, because then it could congeal. The problem is now he has to put down the blood. So how do you put down a utensil that has a pointed bottom? They had a stand. So you'd place the receptacle into the stand. And what happened? Hevi'olu asa soyer. They would bring this soyer. This was the soyer. This was the goat. One of the two goats, right? This was the goat that was going to be Lashem. They brought in the soyer. Shachto, he shachted it. The kibal b'mizrak estamo. And he would receive the blood in a receptacle. Nichnas l'makom shenichnas v'amakom shamad. V'hizda mimeno achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata. So we'll say what happens. Now he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for a third time. What happens in the third time? Same process. He takes the blood of the seir and he sprinkles it. And what would he do? One higher up, seven lower. V'kach, same process as the damapar. V'kach hayamone. This is how he would count. Achos v'achos achos u'shtayim. Fine. So same exact process now with the dam ha-seir. Go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Stood where he stands. So remember, he's standing in the same place all three times. The place where he stood for the Ketores is the place where he sprinkles the blood of the par. Is now where he's sprinkling the blood of the seir as well. Yotza, almost seen. I'll tell you what else is amazing about this. You know, now on Yom Kippur, Yotza Hashem, Haba Aleinu Letova. You know, let's be honest, this part of Musaf is where everybody's beginning to zone out, right? The only person is mamash fully conscious is the chazan, because he has to. And even that, nobody's really sure, because everybody else is listening. Right? So what happened? I was like, just, you know, now that you understand this process, so again, when you follow along in the avoda of Musaf, it becomes so much more meaningful because you understand these processes. What happens? Yatsu, he comes out. V'nichu akanazav hasheni shavechal. So we'll say now he comes out with the blood of the soyer, and there was a second stand. He takes the blood, the receptacle, the blood of the soyer, and he puts it in there. Rabbi Huda says no. Lo hayasham elakan echad bilvad. Rabbi Huda says there were not two stands. There was only one stand. Why? Because at some point in time you were always using one of the bloods. So what happens? Notol damapar. So now he puts down the blood of the goat, and he again takes the blood of the par. What would he do with it? Now he would take the blood of the par, and he would walk to the curtain, the parochas that separated the Kodesh from Kodashim, and he would do sprinklings on that curtain. But now again, I'm both saying, not inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, outside of the Kodesh HaKodashim. And how would he sprinkle? Achos lemala v'sheva lemata. Again, same manner of sprinkling. One up high, seven below. V'lo hayom iskavin. And again, I will say, it doesn't literally mean he would apply the blood. Rather, what would he do? Ela kimatzlit. He would flick the blood. V'kach hayamone. And again, he would count the same way. Achos for the one on top. And then achos v'achos, achos u'shtayim, so forth. Natal dam ha-soyer. He would then go back and take the blood of the soyer. V'niach dam apar. And he would put down the blood of the par. And again, Rabbi say, what would he do? He would do the same thing with the dam of the soyer that he did with the dam of the par, this time sprinkling it on the curtain opposite, outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Achos lamala v'sheva lamata. So Rabbi say, essentially what you see here is the following. Again, very easy to remember. The first thing he did was the Ketores, left the Ketores inside of the Beis HaMikdash, went out and got the dam of the par, ultimately again came back in, did the sprinkling with the dam par, comes back out, shechs the soyer, gets the dam of the soyer, goes back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkles the dam of the soyer, comes back out, does two sprinklings now, the dam par, dam aser, on the curtain of the Beis HaMikdash. Then what happens? Excuse me, on the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then what happens when he's finished now? Ira dam par l'soch dam aser, v'nosan asamai berekan. He then takes the remnants of the blood of the par and the remnants of the blood of the soyer, mixes them together, and puts the empty one receptacle into the other. Says the Gemara. It's the Avodah. Says the Gemara, Mishenignas lo katani, Elam Yishanito. So also what's interesting is the Gemara picks up on Lashon on the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said when the Aron was taken. Now what's interesting is the Gemara points out it doesn't say when the Aron was hidden. So what does it mean that the Aron was taken? So the Gemara says Tnan Kiman the Amar Aron Gola Lebovel. Oh, because they both said there is another opinion. And the other opinion says that what? The Aron was not hidden in some subterranean chamber on the Harabais. Rather, what? It was taken by the Babylonians. I will say, I wanted to explain to you something. Remember, how can you have this other opinion? After all, the Gemara quoted a pasuk where Yoshio said to the Kohanim, put away the Aron. Because remember, I will say, that pasuk is not explicit. What did Yoshio say to the Kohanim? He said to the Kohanim, place the Aron in the bayis. And the way we darshined that pasuk is how? That it can't literally mean put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather what? It must mean put it in some subterranean chamber. But you could darshan that pasuk is that, no, Yoshio is doing repairs in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he commands the Levim to once again position the Aron correctly in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the point is you don't have an explicit pasuk that says that Yoshio actively hid the Aron in some subterranean chamber, because you don't have a pasuk that opens the door for another narrative. So the Gemara says, the Sanya Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Aron Gola LeBavel. The Aron was exiled to Bavel. Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Ule Teshuvas Hashana, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, Vayivi'ehu Bavela im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. Oh, that Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people together with what? With the utensils of glory of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that refer to? The Gemara understands that refers ultimately to the Aron. Rav Shmuel ben Yochai says, Aron gol lebavel. Rashbi says, yes, the Aron was exiled to Babel. How do we know this? Shneemar, lo yivaser, let's see here, quoting the pasuk over here, from Yishayo, lo yivaser dover, Amar Hashem. Nothing, no thing will be left. So the Gemara says, what does dover refer to? Elu aseres adibros shebo. This refers to the Ten Commandments that were housed in the Aron. So the Aron, nothing is left. Rabbi Huda ben Lakishom, Rabbi Huda says, really, we actually take Elvish ben Lakish. Rabbi Huda says, Aron ben Komodignas. No, the Aron was actually hidden in its very space. Shine Emar, Vayiru Roshe Abodim, Min HaKodesh Apnei Advir, Velo Yiru HaChutza, Vayi Yusham Ad Hayom Azeh. So I will say, amazingly, Rabbi Huda quotes the Pasuk from Malachim Aleph, and the Pasuk says, that literally the poles extended outwards. We're going to discuss tomorrow exactly what that means. The poles extended outwards and were seen from the Kodesh onto the partition, and they shall never be seen again on the outside. Ad hayom hazeh. That was what he's actively referring to, is the fact like this, that the actual poles of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of the Aron, excuse me, actually extended into the curtain, so that when you were standing on the other side of the curtain in the Kodesh, you actually saw the two poles extending out a little bit. But the Gemara is actually dashing is Ad Hayom Hazeh. Ad Hayom Hazeh means until this very day, which is another way of saying that what? That the Aron is in its place until this very day. Obviously, it's not visible to us, but it's hidden someplace on the Harabayas. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Right, we'll stop over here with Opli Gadula. So we'll say this is going to be a major dispute tomorrow as to what happened to the Aron. We'll say just a reminder again, schedule for tomorrow morning is 6:30, followed by davening at 7:15. Also, late breaking news, a mazel tov to Yitzi and Lauren Schleifer on the birth of a baby girl.
So the Sayur was shafted.